And then someone went,
testing, 1, 2.
I can really taste the bacteria.
What's up, John? What's up, John Burton?
1, 2, 3, 4. Why you can't have a best?
Okay, wait. Let me rewind. John, you're right.
Right. I'm just going to play us in a little bit.
When are you going to tell me we're starting?
We started.
Okay. Awesome.
Hey, this is John. This is Home From Here, and I'm obviously not playing that. This is a good day, though. You guys remember Jana, the author of Naked Girl? She's co-hosting with me. Hey, Jana.
Hi, how are you, John?
She's not naked.
Nope.
But the book is. And she has agreed to co-host a couple shows today. Thank you so much.
Huh? Sure, it's great to be here.
No,
it's great to be back.
You were so much fun on the last show. I was like, oh my God, will you just please come in and hang out?
Oh, thank you so
much. Can we have a play date?
Yeah, we're having a play date.
We're having a play date.
A musical play date.
With the band Tannersville. Scott, you want to introduce?
Howdy, howdy. Yep, on drums you have Mike LaRocco on drums. Rich Louie on bass. And I'm Scott Williams. And howdy, everybody. We're Tannersville.
Sweet sound. You guys want to go right into a song? Or do you want to talk?
How about this?
There it is. Beautiful.
Back up in my memory, where my thoughts were free to roam. That's where I keep the pictures of my childhood back home. When my heart is heavy, I wander in my mind. My secret destination, I chart a course for a simpler place in time. Beneath a terracotta sunset, in a soft suburban sky, with the cotton seed sailing on a summer breeze, takes forever to float by. And there'll be lightning bugs at twilight, and we can catch them if we fly. Beneath the terracotta sunset, in a soft suburban sky. That's your part. You know, when we get to that hook, you guys can sing.
Right? Fair enough. Thank you for doing this,
sailing
by the way.
Sailing on a stingray through a small town neighborhood. It's fresh mow grass and barbecue make that night air smell so good. And when that sun starts sinking, it turns the world a blaze of gold. A body thinking, harkening back to those childhood days of old. Beneath the terracotta sunset, in a soft suburban sky, with the cotton seed sailing on a summer breeze, takes forever to float by. And there'll be lightning bugs at twilight, and we can catch them if we fly. Beneath the terracotta sunset, in the soft suburban sky. Memories like autumn leaves fall gentle on my mind, scattered across the path to yesterday. Golden dreams of childhood seem to sweeten over time. They call to me to carry me away. Away. Away.
All day long. You guys go. It's tight. Mike, how nice is it to be able to move your elbows a little bit? last time Mike was at my old studio and
I was in the hallway.
Literally sitting in a hallway with like a one hand drum trying to make it work. Somebody tell me the origins of the band. Why Tannersville?
Scott.
Well, in 1971, a bunch of kids moved up to Tannersville, New York, because we knew we couldn't get any work done in Westchester, where we were from. And
so, you're Westchester?
I own a college.
Okay.
And in my sophomore year, I was in the dean's office, and he told me I had two alternatives, either Vietnam or get my act together. And I said, well, I think I'm going to join a rock band and move up to the mountains.
And he said, no, pick Vietnam.
Yeah. He was happy to get me out of the office. So we started the band in 71. And like every other band, we went through a whole bunch of changes. Mm-hmm. When we were up there, that's when Van Morrison was up there.
Right.
The band was up there. And right after Bob Dylan was up there. And so it was the place to be musically. And it was remote and we could work. We used to get up, you know, at the crack of noon. And, you know, by the time we got into the music room, we were in there around midnight till dawn.
Wow.
And we did was rehearse because we played original music and no one wanted to hear it. Much like it is today, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
Everybody wanted cover stuff.
Right.
So that's how the band started. And we opened for like Jay Giles, First They're Looking to Purse tour. And we opened for Edgar Winter on the Frankenstein tour.
Wow.
That's really cool.
We got glimpses of all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
And then I just kept playing all these years. And, there are two people that we play with that are original, myself and the lead guitar player, who is Bruce Eisenstein. And I'm very privileged to have these good friends of mine who have agreed to play with me so we can continue to play out and do what we love to do. We love to play out entertain folks. So
let me guitar geek for a second. You play a Guild.
Yes.
Your pickup on the pickup.
Yeah.
Why'd you pick that?
Because somebody else paid for it.
Oh, okay.
It's an excellent reason.
Right.
This guitar is, let's see, it's 45 years old.
Fantastic.
It was given to me as a gift from my wife on my birthday. And my drummer took her to Manny's and picked it out for her. And they gifted it to me. So.
How long have you been married?
I've been married. Oh, you're getting me in trouble, John.
You can't remember?
No. I'm
give us a neighborhood.
Right. Just give us a neighborhood.
48 years.
48 wow. years. Congratulations.
I'm married to the love of my life.
That's amazing.
What's the secret?
She forgives me.
Yeah. I have found that to be very helpful.
That's yeah. the secret.
So it's her secret, not your secret.
Right.
Yeah. That reminds me. Thanks, Rich. Rich pointing to a song on the list here. I wrote a song about it called One More Chance.
You want to do it?
I would love to do it.
Please.
You know, because I think there may be people in your audience that might relate.
Yeah. No, everybody in my audience has perfect marriages. Yeah. Nobody needs forgiveness. So. Yeah. But play it anyway.
All right. So, you guys good?
Yeah.
A one, a two, a one, two, three. I didn't mean to lie, was the last thing on my mind. I was so afraid you'd up and leave me. I got no alibi, cause I'm a victim in this crime. I hope and pray this once you can believe me. Lord knows I let you down before. You've every reason now to walk right out that door. I need one more chance. Give me relating to the sound?
A little bit.
I didn't mean to lie, was the last thing on my mind. Hope and pray this once you can believe me. I got no alibi, cause I'm a victim in this crime. I hope and pray this once you can believe me. So nice I did it twice. Knows you let me down before.
Lord knows he let you down.
You've every reason now to walk right out that door. I need one more chance. I need
I'm so tired of my voice.
Your voice is so beautiful.
Right. I promise I'll be you.
Plus, who's getting up there? He's singing falsetto. Yeah. I'm not going to do
I know.
That.
And I did mean Scott's voice,
I
not yours.
I just can't live my life without you. Without you, I won't. yesterday. If I promise to do my part, could you find it within your heart to stay? Oh, Richard.
Said it before. I've never heard it before. So what'd you do that made you write that song? What was this? What'd you do wrong?
I'm not telling.
What's the biggest mistake you made in your marriage?
Biggest mistake I ever made in my marriage? That's a tough question.
That's why we're here.
It's a very, very tough question. Not trusting my wife enough to know that she knows what she's doing.
That's a good answer. Jana, biggest mistake or biggest mistake you made in your marriage?
Oh my gosh. Actually answering honestly when he says what's wrong.
Yeah.
That never does it that end never, in some yeah. kind of conflict. Yeah. It's better to, if it's not that big of a deal, just say nothing.
Right, right.
And move on.
I have learned the value of that. I used to think like every issue had to be talked out. And I'm like, no, that's just a series of fights that you don't need to have.
It's true.
Right?
If something's not really important to solve and it's just that you're annoyed by a thing that will always annoy you for the rest of your life, you don't need to hash it out every time.
There you go. Yeah. Chris, you married?
Rich.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Rich. I do that all the time. If your name is Chris, I call you Rich. If your name is Rich, I call you Chris.
It's funny. When you called me Chris, I was looking away. I definitely did not respond.
Okay, so are you married?
Yes, I am. 43 years.
43 years? So there's almost a century of marriage. Married?
Yes.
How long?
Let's see. 20, gonna be 26.
So you guys have over a century of married wisdom. Biggest mistake you made?
Oh boy, I there's too many to mention. Literally, way too many to mention. I can't think of one. I could think of 100.
Oh, okay,
but
right.
Not one.
But
to
not
mention.
One. Right, right, right. Well, when you come back, we'll do. Mike, your biggest mistake.
Apparently, we have like kind of his and her bathrooms.
Right.
And apparently I don't clean mine well enough.
Ah, all right.
So that's kind of like my biggest thing.
See, I could stop my sentence at apparently I don't clean.
You have your own. You just close the door. That's how you clean it.
Well, that's what I said, but yeah. That didn't go over too well.
Oh, you got the his and hers. This way she doesn't have to deal with you and hers. That's perfect.
So I have a band here. I wanted to ask you guys a question. I'm in this series of discussions right now about – and I don't know how it happened, but it became a thing on Facebook, and we were talking about it on the show, about is it possible to be a best musician? Like can you say somebody is the best drummer in the Hudson Valley? My argument is you can't say that because music isn't quantifiable, and there's, you know, you could say – so I substitute the word favorite for best, but I'd love to hear your guys' take because I'm getting beat up for this.
Well, let's see.
Doesn't have to be best drummer; it could be best bass player, bass. You know.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think everybody who's in it, like as a passion, carves out their space and their own niche. You know what I mean? And they sit in that space and they just develop great things out of that space.
Right.
So I think, you know, yeah, I mean, there's some people who take the instrument seriously. That may be a difference, you know, where you have people who take it seriously and other people who are kind of like weekend warriors maybe.
Right.
You know, and it kind of comes through in the performance and stuff. But other than that, I mean, I think everybody has a place.
So, but can you be the best?
No.
Because?
Well, one thing is the best seems to, for me, is an end, and there's no end.
That's a good answer.
That's a good answer. There we have it. That was a better answer. Ground.
Right.
So that's my take.
Right, right. Can you be the best?
No, I agree with Mike. It's like if you interview any virtuoso musician, they'll tell you they're still practicing.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Well, can you be the best?
I agree. No, you can't.
Well, there's a great Jimmy. You saw that Jimi Hendrix interview where he's with
Dick Cavett.
Dick Cavett, right. And Dick Cavett asks him, you know, are you the best guitar player in the world? And he goes, I'm the best guitar player in the world, in the room, or in this chair. Right. Can you be the best author?
No. I think it's completely subjective with art, because not only are you always growing and changing as you go on with your own art for yourself, but also who are you the best for? Are you your own best self or the audience, you know, the person who's enjoying the art? There's a best book to read in a hammock. There's a best song to listen to in the bath. There's a best song to listen to in the car, you know, and then that changes when you hear another band.
Right. So, okay, good. All right. We've solved the biggest conundrum.
Absolutely. We could all go home.
That's it. We've done it. We've done
world peace.
On to world peace.
Right, right. All right, let's talk Gaza. What are we doing there?
We're the best at this.
Ouch.
This is the best podcast. So Tannersville began in 1971.
Right.
That's amazing.
And, yeah. And you have made a living at this.
I did as a kid.
As a kid,
And then when disco came in and killed rock and roll.
Right.
We were...
I apologize in advance.
It's okay. We were ushered into an office on Avenue of Americas with a very famous producer who I'm not going to mention his name in case he hears this. And he slapped his hand on the gold record on the wall and said, I'm going to make you guys stars. And the record was What a Difference a Day Makes by Gloria Gaynor, which was the first big disco hit.
Yeah.
Right.
And we were a bunch of hippies from the mountain.
Right.
And half of my band at that time was older than me. Ooh, excuse me.
Oh, wait, is it time for the NFL?
I know.
It is.
Excuse me.
No worries. Do you want to take it?
No. This is my twin brother in California.
Oh, hey, twin brother.
Yeah, I'm Nixon. Half of the band was older than the two of us, my lead guitar player, who we still play with, by the way.
That's fantastic.
He was 17 when he joined the band. Wow. I was his parental guardian. That's a whole nother story.
Okay.
but those guys were thrilled because this was what they were working for. And Bruce Eisenstein and myself said, can we have the weekend to look at the contract, which was as big as a phone book?
Right.
And we took it to his dad, who was a lawyer, and he said at the end of the weekend, it looks like, fellas, this guy's legitimate. He will probably make you famous, but there's nothing about your rights in this contract at all. So it depends on how much you want to be famous.
Right.
So we went back and said no.
Wow.
And as a result of that, the only thing we could do was form a disco show band, which is what we did. And we went on the road as a disco show band from Florida to New Hampshire.
Man.
Yeah. Culture shock.
Yeah. Right. I remember disco. I remember having to dance Staying Alive in gym. That was I was in high school. We had to learn. And it was great watching my gym coach try to dance.
Oh, yeah.
Disco. I'm like, hey, you finally look worse than me doing something physical. That's cool. All right. So now you're a disco band.
Yeah. And we did that. You know,
do you still have the clothes?
I got pictures. I'll show you on my phone later. I'm embarrassed to say.
That's fantastic.
We had three changes, the whole bit. We did the steps, did everything.
Oh, so you did? Okay.
Oh, yeah. We had go on, do a set of disco music, which would start like this, and go like that for 45 minutes and never stop.
Wow.
One tune into the other. So your heart would be doing this at the end of the night for about 24
really
hours, which is not good.
That is not good.
I had problems with that, and I'll talk to you about that some other time.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, we made that whole scene, And then after that happened, people got out all together. They disbanded this, that, the other thing. And we just started, you know, playing on our own, you know.
Trends in music fascinate me. Like how something can be so popular, like a genre. Now, I'm not talking about a song. Like, I get you get bored of a song. But like a genre, how something can be so popular and then not. How that happens, that fascinates me, because you look at our classical music and the staying power of that, rock and roll, the staying power of that, and rap, the staying power of that.
Right.
And then I look at disco and I'm like, well, I mean, it's a legit genre.
It is.
Yeah.
Why did it die?
I'm not sure it did, actually.
If it didn't, let's kill it.
It definitely changed. Disco is still here in a different type of presentation.
Correct.
Right. Right. Really bad wedding bands.
Well, no. I'm telling you, if you listen to a lot of what is top 40 today, a lot of it, the rhythm section is disco.
Yeah.
You know.
What's the worst thing that has ever happened to you guys on stage?
No one's rushing to answer that one. What's the second worst thing?
Power outage.
Power outage is pretty bad. Oh, God. I was at a wedding one time, and they had like a sixth, and it's August, and there's like a 16-piece, it was an Italian wedding, 16-piece band there. And it's 104 degrees outside, and it's a Saturday afternoon, because they were going to go the whole, and they had a power outage. But the family of the wedding was electricians. So they're like, wait, we can fix it. I'm like, no, you can't. But the power's out. There's nothing to fix. So we waited like an hour and a half, and Tuck's sweating. But the thing I felt really bad was the band was all in like tuxes. It was like a horn band, and they're all like in tuxes sitting there flipping.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so yeah. Power outage. Yeah. Mike, worst thing happening on stage?
Well, you know, that's a tough one for me, because
nothing bad ever happens.
Well, no, you know, I mean, the stage for me is like my happy place,
right?
Like, you know, I may have mentioned to you, like, a three you know, 45 minute sets is like a 3 week vacation for me,
right? Yeah.
So like, I'm in that space, in the zone. So stuff might be happening,
right?
But I kind of, you know,
whatever,
brush it off and whatever. I just keep doing my thing.
Scott, worst thing ever happening?
I was in a club in Port Chester, New York, called Rapsons.
Okay, that is probably the worst thing that ever happened to you.
Oh, it gets better. It gets better, John. Oh, yeah. And when we pulled up in our 64-passenger school bus in the front, we noticed that there was a pedestrian outside on the sidewalk having a cocktail outside of the bar. And the owner came out, Larry Rappaport, and said, "What the blankety blank are you doing out here?
You can curse here.
You blank, right?" And guy's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. And he went back in. We set up, played the night, and it was like, you know, back then in the day, we were over it. Our set was over at 2 a.m.
Right?
So we're starting to break down, and all of a sudden we heard pop, 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 pop. Guy unloaded a pistol in the club with us in it. It was about the size of your space.
Ooh.
He was drunk, and he unloaded it, and not one person was injured.
Okay.
And then we called 911. The cops came. They did an army crawl in. He had the owner up against the wall like this, begging for his life, saying, "I have kids and I'm my wife, and don't kill me, don't kill me. And the guy was like, "I don't want to hurt you." You know what I mean?
Right.
The cop came in, grabbed him by the pants legs, and pulled him out, and he face planted and he pulled out. And that was the worst day of my life.
Wow.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Jana, worst thing that ever happened to your reading?
So not exciting. There's no good answer to that either.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Playing out originals, that's hard.
What's that?
Playing out with just originals.
It's not hard. It's hard. It's hard if you don't know your venue.
Are there still venues that in the Hudson Valley that will let you play originals?
Like, oh, a absolutely, set. Absolutely.
But is that because you're established?
No, it's not, because nobody knows us, John.
I do.
Yeah, you do. But I mean, we don't have a presence online or anything like that. We're building that currently.
Right.
You know, but
because a lot of the artists that come in here complain about that you can't. There's no place that wants you to play originals, and
Well, you know, Mike actually is the one who finds us work, you know.
Hey, Mike, can you stay after school for a second?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, we are learning where these places are. We have a lot of friends in the Beacon area, in the Pomona area where Rich is from, that are, you know, professional musicians or were professional musicians. And they love music and original music. And so as a result of that, we'll find out, hey, listen, you know, have you played here? Have you played there? Have you played here? And
right.
That's how we find out.
What's the parental guardian story?
Oh,
Should we turn around on that?
There you go.
There you go.
It's not my first show.
Yeah, that's right.
Be kind.
Yeah, I will, because he might hear this. I got to be careful. We lost about the seventh or eighth lead guitar player in the band. This is how things go, right? In the band.
So you have to legally adopt players to keep them in the band?
Well, listen, yeah, we did this time because our manager said, hey, man, I got the perfect guy. We said, who? He goes, my brother. We're like, oh, no, Mark. No. He says, yeah, he's great. Just give him a listen. How old is he? This is, you know, we're living in an 8-bedroom house on a foot of a mountain, you know, living the life.
That does sound kind of cool.
I think he's 16.
Oh, wow.
So we were like, no. He goes, you promised me you'd give him a listen, right? I said, okay. We listened to him. He was a monster on guitar. All he ever did, like all these young kids, they sit in a room and they play guitar before, you know, media was out there. So we said, oh, my God, we need this kid in the band. So we said, Mark says, you're going to have to talk to the old man, my dad. So we went and saw his father in Manhattan, the lawyer. Remember that?
Okay.
Going back to the guy who looked at our contract for us. This is Brucey's dad, who was a big-time lawyer in Manhattan. And he says, okay, I'll tell you what. Brucey's like, Dad, please, let me go, please. You know, and he said, I'll tell you what. He says, I'll let you go under two conditions. Number one is that you finish high school. That means you have to go into Tannersville High School from White Plains High School, where he was getting credits for teaching guitar.
Mm. Wow.
You know, very, very loose high school type of thing. Brucey had hair down to here.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? And he says, so you have to stay in school, got to go to Tannersville High School, where all the kids have flat tops. They're all farmers' kids. You know what I mean? They all have to be out of school at 3 for good reason, because they have to go to work. Go to work. And they never saw anything like Bruce Eisenstein before. So the second condition was, you have to have a parental guide. You know, somebody has to legally be your parental guardian. And so he says, I want two of them. So I was one. And Paulie the painter for the Third Avenue Hell's Angels, who was living with us at the time.
Like Ozzy and Harriet.
Right?
Yeah, like the Beaver. Yeah. Who was on the lam from New York, where he was got into some trouble. So he wound up moving in to the Pine Cone, which is the name of the house.
So parental guardian supposed to be on the lam?
I know, that's perfect mother figure.
Listen, right. His dad didn't know anything about this. Right. And he never met Paulie, which was key. He just met me.
Right.
So we did all the paperwork, signed the paperwork. And to this day, I tease Bruce, who he would have been here, but he had another obligation, that I don't ever remember releasing him from that. And as a result, we called him the kid. So to this day, he's Kid Eisenstein.
Oh, that's
amazing.
For
the purposes of estate planning.
Yes, no. Yes.
You might want to consider a release.
Well, you know, he might want to pursue a release.
Right.
He's doing very well with his business.
Oh, okay.
But he's like us. He's a total sweetheart. Brilliant guitar player, has his own jazz trio, Blue and Green.
Wonderful.
You know.
How often do you guys practice?
Never.
You never practice on your own?
On
your own.
On my instrument? Yeah, a lot. All the time.
How much?
Yeah, at least like a little bit every day.
Every day?
Yeah. A little bit every day.
A little bit?
Every day.
Every day. That's amazing.
Yeah, because I have a friend in my co-producer in Las Vegas, John Falbo, who says, I said, why do you rehearse? He goes, so I don't get any worse.
Right. All right. I'm asking advice. Ready?
Go ahead.
So I'm an arpeggio player. I finger pick most of the time. I just agreed. And when I do stuff, the orientation of my stuff is I talk about suicide and cancer and you cry and then you know, and it's 45 minutes and you know, it's the point is the stuff in between the songs.
Absolutely.
So to rehearse for a 45 minute show, like I did one yesterday, to rehearse for a 45 minute show, you got to rehearse 45 minutes. You got to get the thing. I just agreed to do 3 hours. Give me a program. It's June 7th. Give me a program from now till then.
June 7th?
Yeah.
It's 2 weeks.
I'm screwed.
You'll be fine.
Just rely on adrenaline is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, just do a little bit every day.
Right.
Because you do your arpeggio picking, P-I-M-A in classical.
Right.
P-I-M-A. And then, you keep doing that and do different things with the same three chords because everything is three chords, four chords, right?
That's another thing. Keep going though.
No. But yeah, you do something different to change up within those four chords. It would be a completely different thing.
Right. All right, cool.
And you're a good talker. If you run out of material, you tell a story and just be in the back of your mind figuring out your plan.
This is like a bar, though. They don't want to hear my bullshit. No. They want to dance. And it's so funny because the last time I went, sorry, go ahead.
No, the other thing is I caught some of that live stream yesterday, John. Quite good.
Oh, thank you so much.
Enjoyed it a lot.
Oh, thank you very much. That's sweet. Welcome. That was emotional. The goal is to make people cry. can you write a good song with three chords? Am I correct?
Yes.
Because the other thing I got banged up on online is the idea that songwriters today are all three chords and look at me and blah blah blah, and I'm like, three chord is legit songwriting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? You ever see Springsteen on Broadway?
No.
Oh, my God. You have Netflix?
Yes.
I'm going to change your life. When you go home, watch. It's Springsteen on Broadway. It's him. He holds a room, just him and a guitar for like 3 hours. And it's amazing. But he talks about when he was learning the guitar. And he said all he wanted was those three magical chords so that he could go off. And that's really, there's complicated stuff too, but that's good. But you can get by writing a good song, three chords.
There's tons of people that have been getting by for ages, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that just play three chords.
Name a band, name a composer.
Yeah, there you go, right? Yeah, yeah. All right. I won all the arguments today.
Good job.
Thank you very much. It never happens. What do you want to play?
Oh, we could do Bottles and Bones.
Yeah, beautiful, man. Let's do it.
More?
Yeah, totally.
That'd be great.
Okay.
We're going to
get a little background to this.
Yes, please.
All right. Up in the Catskill Mountains, and I don't know if it's only the Catskill Mountains. It might be mountain regions. There is gold in them thar hills, Rich, in the way of antique bottles buried in the ground. And there are people there's actual shows around the country.
I can see Jana doing that.
I have a collection.
Do you really?
I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I had a five.
I do.
You see? And it's an industry. And, no one really knows about that unless, you get to meet somebody who talks about it. And in Tannersville, there's a gold mine in the mountain there of all of these antique bottles. And we have a friend of ours who lived down the street, and that's what this song is about. This is the lead-in. Who every morning he would get up, and I don't want to give all the lyric of the song away, but he would get up and go out to the mountain and come back with these antique bottles and bring them to the liquor store. And that's how he made his living.
Wow.
Off of antique bottles, because people would buy, there was a shop in town that would buy his antique bottles just enough for him to get his big Armadin jug.
That's cool.
And that's what this song is about. It's called Bottles and Bones.
Please.
Goes like this. One, two. How many chords is that, John?
Hold on, do it again. One, two, three, back to one.
You're counting off. I think we're counting off the song. I was ready to come in. I didn't come in for
you can come in for anytime you want, please.
The mind wanders.
All the time.
Now I gotta remember the lyrics. Thanks a lot, guys.
You want me to look them up for you?
No. What's the first word, Rich?
In the woods.
I got it. Thank you.
There you go.
Deep in the wood, he'd be digging for treasure. The thrill of discovery, man, it was burning his mind. Antique bottle, that was his pleasure. Like a page out of history from a simpler time. His old lady, you can catch him sitting on that porch swing. Empty bottle, baby, right by his side. He'd be wasted by 9 every morning, raring to go and fit to be tied. Grab the dog and whine, the mountain is calling. He could dig for bottles, she could dig for bowls. All track of time, the night would be falling. He'd be drunk as a skunk, barely stand on his own, but he could follow that dog back home. Roger the Dodger, a gentle soul you'll never find. Spend his days high on a mountain, come down when he run out of wine. Happened all the time. His old lady thinks he'll get sober. Bless your heart. Endless journey to a sleepless night. She thinks maybe his drinking days are over, but he'll choose that bottle and she'll lose that fight. Grab the dog and the wine, the mountain's calling. He could dig for bottles, she could dig for bowls. Lose all track of time, the night would be falling. He'd be drunk as a skunk, barely stand on his own, but he could follow that dog. Oh. Now everybody knew him down at the package store. They never had to ask what he was looking for no more. They all knew damn well just what he was down there for. Cause every day at the same old time, he'd return to the scene of the crime. Rich.
That's pretty, man.
Roger the Dodger, gentle soul you will never find. Spent his days high on the mountain, come down when he rolled out of wine. Happen all the time. Grab the dog and the wine. The mountain is calling.
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 Calling. Calling. Calling. Calling.
Yeah, man.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
That was beautiful.
I keep getting Rich the same Louis thought.
On bass, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, right. What's your thought?
I keep getting the same thought when I'm listening to your music, and we were talking about, you were talking about music on trend, and I was thinking pop music is right. music on trend, but rock and roll, it's maybe it's just because I prefer rock and roll, but it's just a different feel. And I'm like in the backseat of my mom's Cougar, stuck to the seat with the window open, and finally the breeze coming in, and this is the music.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Totally a sort of timeless rock vibe. So I feel like you could win over a crowd very quickly with your originals. What you were talking about, because it's just, it has that the feel of an era to it.
Yeah, totally.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
One thing, I'm going to give my, actually Scott's
Is he your dad too?
No, he used to be. I got out of that deal. No, actually, our wives are sisters.
Oh wow!
My brother.
Yeah. So,
oh my gosh!
I looked it up. I'm actually a drummer-in-law.
That's amazing.
Absolutely, bro.
But the other thing, too, is that for me, when I was blessed and Scott asked me to join the band, I said, when do I start? It's great storytelling.
Yeah.
Right? The songs have, like, a texture and a great song and a great story to them.
Right.
And that's what pulls people in, you know, a great story. I mean, three chords and a bunch of yakety-yak. You know, you have to rely on a flashy guitar player to make it happen, but...
Do you just call me flashy guitar player?
No, but you're right. With pop music, it's an earworm. It's an earworm, and then it's catchy, and you can sing along to it, and then you get sick of it, and it goes its way, down the road. But a good storytelling song that's just, you know, it evokes memories, and, you know.
She's
well,
good.
You know, I tell people, listen, if you're going away on a honeymoon, if you're going away on vacation or whatever, take one CD, play it every day, all day long. And they're like, what? Are you crazy? I said, I'll tell you what. Every time you hear that music for the rest of your life, you'll remember that honeymoon.
It's so
true. Remember that trip. You'll remember those folks, that feeling.
Yeah.
That's what music is.
It's why you call the music from your generation my music. Yeah. This is our music.
It is. Right. Yeah. It is.
Where do we find out about you guys? We're working on a website?
We
have a website?
Right, take it away.
Please.
Well, there's a basic Tannersville Facebook page.
Okay.
Which is what we're using now to post our events and stuff like that.
Okay.
We've got, our next gig is July 27th at Ober Creek Brewing Company in Wappingers.
Wonderful.
We're going to be there with a full band.
What time?
3 to 6.
Okay.
So that's going to be fun. That's and, you know, and we're streaming everywhere. We're on Spotify, Amazon, as you guys know, you've checked it out. So there's 5 CDs up there now.
We have 4 CDs
and
4
one coming.
Studio CDs streaming all over the world.
Yep.
And the 5th one
is in the works.
The Little Eureka Cafe, which I gave to you, John, just dropped last week.
Okay. Congratulations. So that's great.
We just keep writing and producing and, you know,
good.
If someone is enriched by it, that's our.
Will you play one more to play us out of here?
Sure.
Great. Wait, before you do, Jenna, where do I get the book?
Oh, anywhere you get your books. Amazon, Google, Lulu, Kobo, but mostly go into your local bookstore and ask them to order it. Naked Girl by Jana Brooke Wallach. Thank you for letting me plug.
No, please. Thank you for coming in and playing.
That's great.
What are we doing?
Down at the Phoenicia Hotel.
Which is next to Tannersville.
Which is right next to Tannersville.
Wonderful. Thank you guys for coming in, man.
Thanks.
This is
it's
fun.
Been a total pleasure.
Nice to meet you.
And next time, we got to do 2 hours because I'm like...
We'd be privileged.
10% through.
We'd
okay.
be privileged.
Beautiful.
Right? It just feels like you've known it forever.
Yeah.
Gather around, children, now pontificate on a real dilemma that I've seen of late. This modern world is like a runaway train. Speed of life can drive a man insane. So before I let my hard drive crash, I'm going out to plant my toes in the grass. I got a secret little hideaway. Let's punch out early. We can slip away. family who can take the dough. Head for the hills where you'll be high on the hog, where every average Joe can live like a swell. Down at the Phoenicia Hotel. Here we go. Blessings, you can find your groove. You can watch your general disposition improve. Sleep like a baby, breathe in all that fresh air. And not know what day it is and still not really care. Walk in the river, play in the rain. Lose the cell phone, maybe change your name. Sleep in the hammock. Though shadows fall, plans for the weekend include nothing at all. Yeah, look for the family who can take the dough. Head for the hills, there you'll be high on the hog. Every average Joe can live like a swell. Down at the Phoenicia Hotel. You don't need no reservation, 'cause every room has a view. It's a stress-free destination where there's a front row seat on the porch for you. So if you're tired of the
rat race,
want to slip away for a while, try living life at a slow pace. That's right. It's nice and easy. Catskill Mount. Here's the kazoo part. Destination where there's a front row seat on the porch for you. So if you're tired of the rat race, want to slip away for a while, the slow pace, try living life at a slow pace. It's nice and easy, in New York style. Pack up the family.
Guys, for coming in, man.
Thank
that was
you
amazing.
So much.
Thank you.
Oh, that was great, you
that
guys.
Was great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
No, please. It was my pleasure.
Always our pleasure.
I'm glad we made it.
Have pleasure meeting you.
Nice to meet you.
Jenna rocks, right?
Yeah, that was great. I'm definitely. And I was actually listening to you.
I thought you were just about to say. I'm definitely going to be listening to myself. Yeah.